closer.
So hello and welcome to episode, I don't know what, of the Radio Free Nintendo, Nintendo Pirate Radio, reunion special extravaganza thing.
Technically it's episode one of the reunion.
Yes. So I am your host for this thing, Carl Castaneda, and to my left, Mike Sklens.
Hey, I'm back again, even though I was just on the show like 3 weeks ago.
I know, like they're already used to you being back. It's not going to have the weight.
Well, this is not going to happen again for a long time, so...
Okay, so get you, so it's a really savor the moment. Across the internet in Oregon, Evan Birchfield.
Hello, hello.
Wait, I thought it was Oregon.
It is Oregon, but for today I'll be nice.
It's Oregon, that's... Yeah.
You know, and last up, it's your favorite defunct sports editor, Stan Ferguson.
It's, yeah.
I think he's the only sports editor we've actually ever had on the website.
The only.
No, I think Lindy was sports editor.
You ran that position into the ground.
Well, I think I.
That's why there is.
I think I covered a total of three sports games too.
Probably, yeah. But the reason that we're all back together is I was doing episode 150 with Johnny and the guys, and
I thought that was me who was doing 150.
No, you did like 153 or something. Anyway, so what happened was, you know, I love doing this show, coming back and doing the show with Johnny and the guys. It's really nice to be there and all, but you can't really escape the feeling that it's their show and that you're just kind of there to throw your two cents in every once in a while.
About how much you hate Nintendo?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You're just kind of there
that's the way it felt when I was on. I mean, I love those guys, and they did make me want to play Metroid Prime again, but I still don't like Nintendo anymore.
Exactly. So, we thought, hey, we'll gather up all the old hosts, the old crew of RFN and NPR. And
NPR?
Nintendo Pirate Radio.
Oh, I was thinking of National Public Radio, sorry.
We are not National Public Radio.
We're famous NPR.
No,
you
know, if we were National Public Radio, we'd have a modicum of taste, but we don't.
Yeah.
Modicum, that word's too big for this show.
That's a word.
Yeah, so anyway, so we're going to discuss stuff and other stuff and get to things. So first of all, you already know who's here. It's me, Mike, Evan, Stan. Let's get to business as usual. And let's actually, what's going on with everybody? Mike, what's going on with
you? I'm moving. So I'm
moving.
Like, I'm not doing anything but moving right now.
It awesome. Sucks.
I haven't played a game. I haven't played any games except for like maybe dicking around on my iPhone.
Okay.
In
cool.
Like maybe 2 weeks.
Riveting.
Yeah. I know, right? This is so interesting.
All right, Evan, what's going on with you?
Like in my life?
Anything you want to talk about.
Oh, wow. Well, I've got one video game related thing. I mean, I'm assuming we're not going to do new business because this show's never really very well organized whenever we do a reunion.
Right.
I actually been playing something. I bought Chrono Trigger for the DS, and I kind of been going through this thing in my life where I want to finish stuff that I've never finished, never ever bothered to complete. One of them's Chrono Trigger.
Okay.
I've been reading books that I was supposed to read in high school. And I've been trying to, you know, get my literature knowledge back up to snuff, and finishing old movies and things like that. So. But yeah, I'm not done with Chrono Trigger yet. I kind of put it down for a couple of weeks, but I'm right at the end. I'm doing all the side quests before I can go and fight Megadeth or whatever his name is. And
close enough.
Yeah.
Megadeth.
Yeah, Megadeth.
Right.
And
All right.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it. I think I'm really, you know, it's good. I mean, I've played all the way through it before, but just never finished it. So it's a really good game. I mean, everyone knows that. Everyone knows that.
Of course. Right. All right, well, what about you, Stan? What are you doing? And if you say what, you can't say WoW. I don't want to hear about WoW anymore.
I've just been making snuff films and marveling at how 98% of my bowel movements are significantly more fun than Super Swing Golf.
Very nice.
Wow.
Well, I've actually been playing in anticipation of this reunion. I started playing a little bit more than usual. And I got three games to talk about. First up, I've been playing a lot of PopCap games.
Oh, yes. Plants vs. Zombies.
Plants vs. Zombies might be the best game of the year.
I introduced you to that, didn't I?
No, you didn't introduce me to shit.
You must introduce me to it, then.
Maybe, I don't know. But Plants vs. Zombies, if you don't know the concept, is you have a garden, and zombies are trying to make their way across the garden to get into your front yard, into your front door or your back door. And don't make the joke, Evan.
I'm sorry. I wasn't going to go there.
And And you have to use, you have to, like, plant, like, seeds, plants, basically, sunflowers and such, to stop them from getting in. And the way you plant stuff is you gather sunlight.
It's pretty much a tower defense game.
Yeah, it's very much like a castle kind of defense thing, but,
Is this a cheapo freebie on the PC, or is this, like, an iPhone game? What are you guys talking about?
It's on PC and Mac, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's on PC and Mac, but it's soon coming to Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you know where it should be? Fucking DS.
Yeah, it would work really well on DS.
And as with another game that I've been playing from PopCap, I've been playing the Peggles.
Oh, yeah, Peggle is like crack.
Yeah, so I've been playing the original Peggle I have on Xbox Live, and I have Peggle Knights on my Mac. And both are fantastic. I think I prefer Peggle Knights.
I played Peggle, the original, on my iPhone, and it's like crack. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's like pretty much, there was about a week or two where Peggle was on constantly in this apartment.
Yeah, it's so stupid and simple, but once you it's one of those games where it's just like, oh, I'm just gonna play one more level.
Exactly, and yeah, I can't fathom why it's not on DS.
Peggle is on DS.
It is?
Yeah, it's called Peggle Dual Shot.
Is it really?
DS.
It should be there.
Well, start fathoming, bro.
Yeah, seriously, I'll have to start fathoming up soon. But yeah, that is what that's kind of what I've been playing. And all right, let's move on to. Basically, a little bit of a retrospective on our time with here on RFN. Now, if you listen, you can go back and listen to episode 52, which was the original birthday episode, and you can also go ahead and listen to.
But they're not going to do that.
Episode 100. But if you're not going to do that, let's go ahead and just go ahead go around the room, as it were.
Around the horn.
The whole room, and just kind of talk about what are our favorite moments here on RFN. I'm going to start with Stan.
Well, first of all, I just want to say I'm jealous, Carl.
Yeah.
You and OB get to be there together. I'm gonna pretend that I'm here with Evan on his lap, and I'm gonna call him Santa because that's my thing. What was the question?
What are your favorite moments of RFN? What do you miss and what do you not miss?
Oh man, I miss editing so much. that's what I really miss. I really missed doing the commercials. Those were a lot of fun.
I actually told Johnny that you and I would produce some.
Oh, I would hope that Johnny could do a Brufus.
I think he is doing a Brufus or Brufies. So yeah, you know, I don't know. Sam, I told Johnny that you and I would maybe do something, so we'll see.
Cool. Well, I really like that one you and I did of Evan and Mike.
Oh yeah, did you guys ever listen to that one?
I don't remember it. I'm sure I did, but
I remember listening to it, but I remember the impersonation being not that spot on.
Yeah, you would be the one to criticize it.
That is not an accurate.
I just wanted to say that I can do a much better Evan impersonation than you guys ever did.
Evan would say,
what was the Evan impersonation? Was it just me talking in a really deep voice?
Yeah, it was stupid. It was like, it was nothing like me. It was like you were trying to make some sort of joke about the fact that I don't have a deep voice, and that's, I was offended. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I think that my mic was very spot on.
Well, you actually saw me, so you can see all my mannerisms.
That's true. That helps. But you can't see the mannerisms on the radio. Like
I'm sure it helped somehow.
No, I don't know, maybe. Mike is so much a personality. Like at E3, it is sort of a thing. Like Mike is this entity that is understood to behave in a certain way. And it's.
Can I talk about my favorite moment? Because my favorite moment on the podcast isn't the podcast itself, but the genesis of the podcast at E3.
Yeah, I was probably going to say the same thing. Go ahead and tell the story.
I don't remember the story. I know there was one where we were talking in the hotel room and everyone was shouting and you and I came up with the idea for a podcast. But the story I always remember is me in the back of Bloodworth's van telling everyone that Earthbound sucks and being yelled at by like 7 people at the same time that I was crazy.
Yeah. And I told you off at that point too. And so it was, we saw each other as oil and water, but in a good way, like the way when you put it both on bread, it's very delicious.
Or more like
or oil and vinegar. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, water. So you put it on a salad and it's tasty.
Oil PB&J. And water on bread would be awful.
Well, yes.
I'll tell you what I don't miss. Mike telling me not to say stay tuned.
Yeah, don't say stay tuned because you don't tune into a podcast.
Okay, but it's clearly like, okay, here's the thing about that though, because you're tuning in a figurative sense. Like, you can choose to listen to your music, you can choose to listen to your podcast. It's like you don't have choice.
Stay put.
Keep listening.
That's kind of dumb.
Don't rotate that index finger. Keep on to the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Do not swipe to delete.
There you go.
I actually really loved the first few weeks of the show the most. When it was just me and Stan, or me and me and Mike. I went through everybody that it could have been.
Everybody but him, yeah.
Me and Mike. Mike and I, we would just... We had to come up with a format. Mike was coming up with show notes, and we were just feeling our way through and getting those first initial responses from people on the message boards, and that was the aspect of the genesis, the carryover from the E3 experience to trying to do a podcast.
You missed me. You missed me opening a Newcastle and like getting the spray of it on my pants. Sorry.
Yeah, that's it. The one and only.
No, those first few weeks. Those first few weeks were good. I mean, I was like trying really hard to like make the podcast really like good and professional sounding. And
right.
I would go through and I would edit out every little or
Yeah.
And it was really clean sounding, and there was always I used a lot of undercurrent, where they don't use any undercurrent audio at all now. It's just straight.
No.
I mean, most podcasts don't, but I would try and use some undercurrent when it was appropriate. Which is something that Kevin Smith's podcast actually does, but I don't think he got that idea from me.
I don't think so either.
I just remember there was one specific one where instead of ending the show with the regular music, I ended it with the French national anthem.
Because we were talking about Bastille Day.
Yeah, it was Bastille Day, and we were talking about the French, and I ended it with the French national anthem.
It's funny. Later on in the episode, we're going to be doing a little bit of a trivia tribute to old RFN. So I've been listening to old RFN all morning.
Oh, gross.
How did I like it? It was, you know what? Actually, I will say, I'm not going to make the joke. It's good. It's very like, you know, pre-podcast revolution, where like podcasts all kind of became the same.
Yeah, they're kind of homogenized. I mean, I tried my best to, you know, make it special I actually bothered to put pictures in the enhanced podcast feed. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening on an iPod, there would always be like a picture associated with what we were saying.
Right,
which no one else really did, except for I got the idea from Ricky Gervais, because he was the only one who was doing it at
the time,
and they would always talk about something, and they would talk about something ridiculous, mm-hmm. and then they would always pull up like a ridiculous sketch or a funny Photoshop image over on your iPod while you were watching it. The only thing is that most people have their iPod in their pockets while they're listening to podcasts,
so it doesn't matter.
So whenever they changed the subject, I had to take the iPod out of my pocket and see what they were talking about.
And I remember one time I proposed that we get rid of the chapters and artwork.
I would be fine getting rid of the artwork, but I think getting rid of the chapters were a good idea.
Right, because like I think RFN is still like one of the only gaming podcasts that do that. The chapters.
Do they still do it?
Yeah, they still do it.
That's all me.
That's all Mike's plans, baby. But
but see, the thing is that Mike set the bar really high, so that when I took over for a portion of time and I was doing I did the first 4-person podcast with Billy Berghammer and Chris Kohler and Johnny.
Billy Berghammer?
What?
You know what?
Don't ever call him Billy Berger.
I know. Really upset. Here's the thing. Like, I did a GI Radio commentary way back in the day when I was doing Game Informer's podcast. Mike, you told I he was going to be on the show, and you're like, oh, call him Billy Bergerhammer. It'll be hilarious. And I'm like, oh, hey. And I introduced him as Bergerhammer, and he's like, let's redo that.
Yeah, no disrespect to Billy. I love that guy. He's completely awesome. And if it weren't for him, probably wouldn't have the job I have now, even though it's completely unrelated to like gaming or anything.
Right.
But if it weren't for me working for Billy as a volunteer for that long, I wouldn't be able to put that on my resume, and I'm pretty sure that helped me get my job.
Sure.
So, no disrespect to Billy. He's awesome.
Yeah, props to Billy.
Right.
And Louie. I wouldn't want to leave out Louie the Cat.
And of course Louie the Cat, who he actually mentioned. I'm gonna reveal something to the listeners here. I killed Louie the Cat.
What?
Like, it was during the transition, and I think it was from PGC to NWR, or it might have been like...
You killed the... Because we used it in the Louis Awards.
Yeah, well, not only the Louis, but like we did the rumors were always written by Louis.
Louis the Cat, yeah.
Louis
they
the
always
cat.
Sounded like they were written
by
a cat.
Right,
you know what? Back then, that was before all this like internet lolcat.
That was way before LOL Cats. Pretty much pioneered
like
it.
Decade before lolcats.
Close to it, yeah.
I mean, we started doing... Planet end 2000 in, I mean, when did the...
It was like 2000?
It was the late 90s.
Yeah.
Well, 98 was the first... No, 99 was the first year of...
yeah, and I think I joined in like 2000 or 2001.
So it's a good 5-6 years before Lolcats.
Yeah, I mean, we were way ahead of the curve. We were ahead of the curve on Lolcats. We were ahead of the curve on podcast chapters and imagery. We were just always ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
All right, well...
We were ahead of the curve on making fun of Uwe Boll, so...
Right, right.
Yeah, we were there before everybody.
Right, right. Yeah. In about the middle of my illustrious career at NWR, I became not only the previews editor... But I was also the rumors editor, neither of which really mean anything when you don't work in an office.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Just because, yeah, by the way, I never thanked you, Mike, for shoehorning off previous editor.
Previous editor, by the way, officially worst fucking job at Planet
Game. Whatever.
Have you ever been PR coordinator? Because that's pretty terrible. That's pretty awful. Imagine calling Square Enix, all right, which is, they have the most elaborate Baroque offices in the entire world.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the pictures, right?
Okay. I've heard from a bunch of people how ridiculous, like,
okay.
I mean, I can say this because I don't work in the industry.
Right,
how,
right.
Yeah.
Like, fucking retarded their PR
the people, is. The people working the front desk there make more money than I will ever make in my life. And I call them up and I say, hi, I'm with... Planet GameCube, or I'm with Nintendo World Report, and they'll just sit there and give me the silent treatment, like, and that's supposed to impress me, essentially. It was the most, and then I get transferred around to people, and I get their voicemails, never get a call back. If I ever did talk to someone, they'd give me this runaround as if I was just the smallest peon in the world. That was one of the worst things you could possibly do, is trying to talk to those guys.
But here's the thing, when you're talking to those guys, at least those guys are getting paid to do their jobs. You're not trying to, like, wring a preview out of somebody who really doesn't want to write it.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Previews,
and they're not getting paid for it, so you can't really threaten them with anything.
No, dude, I had some bad times trying to wrestle, like, preview information out of EA.
Oh man, EA is the worst. When I was PR coordinator, they have the most, like, they are the government bureaucracy of video games.
They have separate PR agencies for, like, Madden, and then a separate PR agency for anything sports related, and then anything, like, kids related, and anything sim related.
And you can make headway with one PR person there, and get, like, suddenly have a relationship where you say, hey, we're a fan site, but we actually do have an audience, and we wanna be a part of your PR and get your information. And they'll be like, oh, well, but the game you're asking about is covered by someone else. You get transferred to someone else. They don't give two shits about you.
No, of course not. Even if that first person says, hey, listen, work with this guy, they don't work with you.
No.
All right, well, we got off on a tangent, so let me actually finish the story that I was starting to tell. So I became rumors editor, and I did the last two, I think, Louis articles were written by me. Because I think it went from Billy to Rick Powers, a.k.a. Rob Stevens.
Yeah, he's okay with his real name now, so it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, and then it kind of, I don't know, it kind of blipped around. I think Johnny might have written one or two, I don't know.
I think the idea with rumors is that they're really pretty much written by whoever actually had the rumor.
Okay, well, in any case, I became the rumors editor, which meant that most of the last rumor articles, I probably wrote like 80% of them. In any case... I had the last two Louis, and I proposed to Johnny that with the new site name, the new direction for the site, because he was going to kind of be stepping down soon, that why don't we get a new mascot? And my proposition was for Newsbot to be the new mascot.
All right, because Newsbot, for those of you who don't go into the forums, is the robot that takes the news stories and posts them to the forum so people can comment on them.
Exactly. So I wanted him to become Rumorbot, and then that kind of be his whole thing. That got played around with for a little bit, and I think it was either Johnny or Wendy who decided that it wouldn't fly.
I love that. I love the idea of it being a robot as our mascot. I think that was great.
In the end, didn't we just post them just anonymously?
No. As we just, whoever wrote the article, that was who.
I thought we had to keep it anonymous for
safety's
sake.
Well, I don't know. It ended up not being so. So I wrote the Louis farewell feature.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, a couple people are probably gonna be like, oh, Louis, whatever, blah blah blah. There was like, Louis gone. Fuck this. I'm out.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah. So that
was really was a Louis.
Yeah. I mean, like Louis.
It was just Billy writing horribly
as like his cat.
Yeah.
And you know the real.
The last time that Louis had spoken and had done anything was like he had done something like twice in the last year before
the
that.
Louis Awards
he was
still.
Absent.
Yeah, there was some. Yeah,
the reason Louis was absent is because Billy is the one who has all the connections, and he's the one who had all the good rumors.
Yeah, and, well, yeah, pretty much. So, but yeah, so I killed the Louis, my bad. But
you didn't kill the real Louis.
Yeah, no.
The real Louis is still alive and well.
Yeah, now living in California.
He is the oldest cat in the world.
He's gotta be. I mean, I've known him for almost 10 years now.
Yikes.
You know that
cat?
I like that.
I've known of that cat.
So Billy's moved to California. What's the deal there?
He works for G4 now.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it.
As far as I can tell, it seems like the way the games journalism career goes is eventually
you move to California.
You end up working for G4 because that seems to happen to
That
happened to half the people who left Ziff when Ziff went under. So.
Yeah, a lot of people moved to G4. But if you look at Dan Bloodworth.
He was at Game Trailers, so...
No, he started at G4.
He was at
G4
for a little while, and then he went to Game
Trailers. Okay, I guess you're all at G4 at some point in time.
Probably. Yeah, everyone moves to G4 eventually. Great. All right, so yeah, anybody else want to share some treasured memories of the website?
All the best memories are from E3, because that's the only time we all ever got to see each other.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I only went to one E3, so...
Yeah.
But you went to that was 2002, right?
Okay, here's the thing, though. The E3 that's back now is the real E3.
Well, yeah. What'd you say? You went to 2006? Okay.
Yeah.
2006 was a good year. That was 2006 the last E3
It was
ever?
The last E3 ever.
Until now, yeah.
Yeah, now that E3 is back from the dead, but yeah, as far as I'm concerned, 2006 will always be known as
the last E3 ever. I'm actually thinking about going this year, maybe next year, because I'll actually have to catch
I went to PAX this year, or last year, I guess, 2009. PAX was a blast.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. PAX is like all the fun parts that you loved about going to E3 without any of the work. It's awesome.
But see, that's what I enjoyed the most was the work, was actually hunkering down with these people. And even though we would be having fun in the hotel room, I'd be sitting there writing my story. I remember writing out my my scathing preview of Necronesia before it was called Escape from Bug Island. Trying to elucidate the horrors of the game. While I was having a conversation with Mike Gammon, and he was like, "How are you possibly writing at this moment while everybody's going like crazy behind you?" And to me, it was just that was the whole point, was to sit there and write.
Was,
and I
yeah,
did more writing during E3 than I ever did for the site after.
My best E3 memory is I got to play. I was playing the first year that Geist was there, the year that Geist was first announced, and it was there and playable. The first year it was playable. I think it was announced, and then a year later it was playable. And that was probably 2006 that it was playable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there playing the game, and a couple of guys from Nspace, the developer, are standing there behind me, and they're like, "Oh, what do you think of our game?" And I'm like, "Oh, I think this is great, you know, blah, 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 blah." Like, trying to just, like, work them and see if they, you know, see if maybe we can get some more exclusive information or anything. And it turns out they are headquartered in Orlando, which was, like, 2 hours from where I live.
It's like 3 hours. It's a 3-hour drive.
From here, it's about 4 hours.
Yeah.
From where I was at the time, it was only like 2 hours away, and we tried to get me down there, but Nintendo's PR agency kept putting the kibosh on it.
Didn't you end up... But I remember you had something with Nspace.
Well, what happened was that a couple days after the show, that was the year... No, this must have been 2003.
Because I was already on staff at that point, which...
So the first year I went was 2002, so it must have been 2003 or maybe 2004.
It might have been 2005, dude, because I remember seeing that feature on the site.
But the thing was that this was the first year Geist was playable, so it must have been, I think it was 2003, because that's the year after E3. I stayed in California for another week, and so my family flew out, and we like had a vacation in California. Since I was already there, it was like, hey, let's all go to California.
Right.
So I was at Six Flags Magic Mountain, literally in, like, when you're on a roller coaster, right before you get on the roller coaster, like, you're in the line, and then you're in that one spot where you wait for the next train to show up, and the little gates open, and you get in the car. I was standing right there. And one of the guys from Nspace calls me, and he's like, "Hey, what do you think of our game?" And I'm like, "Well, I have to get on a roller coaster right now, but really quick, I thought this was great and this was great, but let me call you back sometime when I'm off my vacation, and then we'll talk about it." And it turns out that was late Eric Dyke, who was the CEO and president of Nspace,
and
called me personally to get my thoughts on his game.
Wow.
Hey,
he told me all sorts of shit that I wasn't allowed to tell anybody.
Wow.
Like, I mean, Miyamoto was basically had a conference call with those guys every week telling them what he thought of their game.
Wow.
And then it turned out so well.
Yeah.
Fuck you. That was a pretty good game. on the actual 0 to 10 review scale, it was like a 7.
Yeah.
But on the 7 to 10 review scale, it's unfortunately, like an 8.5. It was also a 7.
On the actual 0 to 10 review scale, don't get me started.
Anyway,
yeah, I mean, 70% of that game was good, and maybe even 75. Like, it was way past mediocre.
Very solid.
Yeah, it was way above mediocre, but it wasn't quite great. It was just under great, which is a 7 in my book.
Right.
Because 7 is, we're, like, you know, 7 is great, and then 8 is very great, and then 9 is, like, you need to be playing this, and then 10 is absolutely phenomenal, like, game of the forever.
Game of the forever.
Hey, Stan, you still alive back there?
All right, Geist was, on my review scale, I think I may have actually given it an 8. Because I was, you know, I have to adjust for the retarded scale that the video game journalism industry uses, where 0 through 5 don't count for shit. So yeah. You really don't start scoring until 5, but 5 and 6 are basically worthless.
Of course.
And then 7 is where people start spending their money.
Hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, I believe that pretty much covers our frustrations with our old days, you know, at the old.
But don't get it wrong. I mean, we all bitch a lot.
Oh no, dude! I that was the coolest job I ever had.
Yeah. Well, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, I really enjoyed being able to go to E3 and feel like I was a part of the experience, getting to interview. Like I was chasing down information on Trauma Center like crazy, and when I found out that there was nothing to find out, but we were doing our best to. I was trying to extract information actually from the guy at Atlas about Trauma Center, and I remember Vinny SS4 Gogeta was telling me that I was being a little too harsh with the guy, and I'm like, what? He wasn't talking. He was giving us the PR runaround. So
you gotta grill him, Evan. That's how real journalism works.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, but when we come back, it is the RFN Trivia Challenge. See you in a bit. Okay, guys, and we're back here for the RFN Trivia Challenge. Before we start, let's go over the rules and regulations. Every right answer is 2 points. If the question is too hard, you can ask for a hint, and if you make it on that hint, it's 1 point. All right, now I have 3 sets of 5 questions here. Each set pertains to one person, so it's because I figured, you know, if it's general trivia, it's gonna be too difficult. So every question is only gonna pertain to episodes that you were on. Okay, so we're gonna start here with Mike. Question number 1: In episode 4, entitled "Rumor Ton," you discussed a wide variety of Wii-related rumors with RFN's first ever host outside of Evan and yourself. Who was this person?
Oh God, I do not remember. Hold on. If I guess right away and get it wrong, that's it. I'm done. Right?
You're done.
So,
do you want the hint?
I will ask for the hint.
Okay, this person had written for Planet GameCube, but was never a staff member. All right, and
doesn't help at all.
No, it can only be one person.
Go for Planet Game. Yeah, but I don't. Like, I mean, I know everybody, but I don't remember.
Think of who
wrote when.
Come on, think.
They wrote for Planet GameCube,
but they
were
never
officially a staff member.
Well, they were never even unofficially.
Oh, I got it. It's got to be Chris Kohler.
Chris Kohler. So 1 point.
Ah.
Okay. Question number 2. In episode,
we talked to him about rumors because, again, once Billy left, we had no sources for anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
Chris. Chris is a good guy.
Johnny,
he talks to us about
Johnny.
Stuff.
Johnny had sources for some stuff.
Yeah,
he was like, I mean, he was like in like knee deep with the freaking guys at Retro Studios.
If Johnny wanted to go pro, he always could have. Like,
yeah, but yeah, as far as that, Billy and Johnny were really.
But Johnny wants to go to outer space, not to become a professional game journalist.
Exactly. Yeah.
Rob/Rick used to work in the industry, so he had some connections. And but apart from that, that was pretty much it at the time. I'm sure Bloodworth has some connections now that he works for. You know, he'd worked for G4 and Game Trailers, but. Other than that, it was pretty much those two. But Kohler is like a totally stand-up dude who's completely awesome. And, you know, so he just came on our show because he's cool.
And he linked to it, which means the numbers go way up.
Yeah, that podcast probably will eternally have one of our highest download counts, even though it was like an
actually
early
now, dude, the show gets like 5,000 downloads per show.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
It's doing real well.
Yeah, they're doing real good without us.
We're no Adam Carolla, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly. All right, question number 2. In episode 15, The Four Horsemen, you, Stan, and myself talked about the quote-unquote four horsemen of the gaming apocalypse, using war, famine, pestilence, and death to symbolize actual problems in the industry. What did war symbolize?
War, famine, pestilence. War's got to be, I mean, competition for exclusive titles or something like that.
Wrong. All right.
Well, give me the hint, and it won't count for any points, but give me the hint. I want to see if I can get it.
EA was, for a time, the most blatant offender of this. Anything?
Shitty games?
No. The right answer was buying up small developers.
That's war?
Yeah.
War, famine, pestilence, and death. I think that's more death.
I don't know. Well, that's what happened. Anyway, question number three.
I came up with those, and I don't even remember that.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about how to score with the ladies via games in episode 39, A Very Lovely Iteration. In addition to the video variety, you also recommended a board game as being very popular.
Oh, it's
popular.
Cranium. All right. Shit, that's easy.
All right, 3 points. You're up to 3 points.
Cranium is a panty dropper. At least when you're in college, Cranium is a panty dropper.
I find Apples to Apples works very well as well.
Apples to Apples is also very good at it.
Yeah.
Very good at it.
All right.
But Cranium, at the time, I mean, at least 3 of my good friends had gotten laid. With at least partial thanks to that board game.
Okay. Question number 4. In episode 74, Mike Likes Horse Life, you stole Horse Life from me.
Did you listen to the episode that I recorded a couple weeks ago?
No.
We talked about Horse Life.
Oh, did we? How did we end up settling who would get the game?
I don't know. Give me the hint.
I lost this 2-0.
It's got to be rock, paper, scissors.
All right,
that was my guess, but I wasn't sure.
Okay,
but
you're up to 4. I also
Horse Life. I talked about it like when I recorded that episode a couple weeks ago. But Horse Life is the best horse related Elite Beat Agents ripoff you could ever possibly play.
All right, the judges would have also accepted Rochambeau. All right, and finally, your last question in episode 77, entitled "Factual Inaccuracies," a Mike's Crazy Mailbag write-in asked us, what is the most awesome food? What was your answer?
I feel like I should know this because it's got to be my personal opinion when I answer that question, but I don't. So what's the hint?
You actually end up getting sick after eating these, if I remember right.
I remember that, actually.
Is it White Castle cheeseburgers?
No, wrong. Damn. The answer was free Qdoba burritos.
How was I getting free Qdoba burritos?
You had like a coupon or something that allowed you to get a free one, and then it was like buy one get one.
Oh,
so
sweet.
You got free two. All right.
Yeah, so I did get sick after that burrito. I think I was probably just eating a free Qdoba burrito when I answered that question.
Okay, so your final tally is 4.
Nice. Oh yeah, I had it. I remember now. I had a buy one get one free coupon,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't charge me. No, it wasn't a buy one get one free coupon. It was a coupon for something.
You had a card that was like, once you get enough stamps, you get a free Qdoba burrito. And then it was buy one, get one. So you had a free Qdoba burrito, and then they got another one.
That's right, yeah. That was awesome. 2 burritos for $0.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go ahead and move on to Evan's questions. Are you ready?
Yes, I am ready.
Okay, for episodes 12 and 13, you hosted RFN without Mike Sklens.
Uh-huh.
And took on 2 separate co-hosts noted as quote-unquote PGC jackasses. Who were these 2 jackasses?
Were they separate? They were 2 different people?
Yeah, they were 2 different people.
2 different people that I called the PGC jackass. Well, there's so many to choose from.
Oh, hints?
Gosh. No, hold on. Let me just think about this. So 12 and 13. Can you give me the titles of those 12 and 13?
No, I'm not going to tell you so you can look it up.
I'm not going to look it up. I can't look it up.
Give me the titles of all the episodes that you were referencing.
No, because if I give you the titles, you'll know who the 2 people are.
Oh.
Like their name was
well, I would
title.
Never call, yeah. I don't think I would ever call Bloodworth a jackass, honestly.
No.
So I'm going to cut him out, and I don't think I would, I just kind of don't have that kind of relationship with Johnny where I think he would take kindly to me calling him a jackass.
Is this question like as easy as I'm thinking it is?
Yeah. All right, do you need the hints?
I got it.
One of them was Glenn's for sure.
No, without Mike Sklens.
These were specifically without me.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, give me the hint.
All right, the hint is one of them is on this show.
Okay, well, for sure one of them has to... Well, oh, gosh, I can't choose between the 2 of you. Which of you is a bigger jackass? That's an impossible question.
Carl?
Oh, yeah, I know, probably Carl. So
do you know the other one?
I'm going to say Carl is one, and I'm going to put... gosh, not TYP, not Gammon...
Now, wait, before you give him the answer, can I get my guesses in?
Yeah.
Well,
do you
give up, Evan?
Yeah, I'm going to give up. Carl's one of them. That's all I know.
Okay, well, are you one of them?
Yes.
Okay, so you're one of the other one. I think has got to be Lindemann.
It was Lindemann.
Yeah, that's true. Because I love Lindemann so much, and he would appreciate me calling him a jackass. So
okay, all right. And all right, your second question here. Episode 21, Activision, Ubi, and PS3. You and I did that terrible sketch where you pretended to be Mike Gammon and Lindy, turning us down to show up on the podcast. For what purpose were we recording that skit?
For what purpose were we recording the skit where I was pretending to be
Mike Gammon and Lindy? Remember, like, we were, like, doing the skit where, like, we would ask them to be on the show and they would be like, no, I'm busy?
It was because, it was because we couldn't get anyone to be on the show that we...
No, I know that, but we were doing the skit as a kind of a...
replacement?
What's it called? Like not a placement, but like an example for something.
Oh,
what was the example for?
It was an example for a contest when you write, you submit your own.
All right, no. But all right, but what contest?
Could it have been the Naruto contest?
Correct. There's 2 points. 2 points.
Damn, I do not remember shit as well.
All right, in episode 52, Birthday Crosstalk Extravaganza, in which you, Mike, Johnny, and I celebrated the first anniversary of RFN, Mike affectionately referred to you as Evan Blank.
Oh, I know this.
Oh, this is easy. Bitchfield.
All right, up to 4 points.
Wait, I'm sorry. Just wondering, have people called you that your entire life? It seems like the go-to, like, it seems like, you know, when you're, like, in second grade and you try and make someone's last name or someone's name into an insult, that seems like the go-to one for Birchfield is Bitchfield.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about that, actually, is that I went to a private Christian school throughout elementary school right. and junior high.
So I guess not.
And honestly, if anybody had even so much as uttered that word, let alone called someone else it, then they would have been instantly suspended. So, I've never actually really been called Bitchfield.
Had you gone to public school, you probably would have heard it at least once a week for
your
entire life.
That's probably true, but then I went to public high school, and I had no problems there.
Yeah, but you're past the point in high school.
In any case, for the record, the hint for this question was...
Then they just call you, like, bitch. They don't need to be clever anymore.
The hint for this question was also, I believe there's also a longer version where, quote, he simply cannot shut up is edited in.
All right. That would not have been a helpful hint at all.
Okay. Question number 4. In episode 65, Auteur Theory, you argued with the rest of the crew about games as an art form. We also noted that you look extremely similar to a certain DS game character. Who was this character?
It's Kyle Hyde from, what the heck is it called? The
Hotel Desk.
Yeah, okay. There
Why
you go.
Do I know more of Evan's answers than my own?
I don't know. Well, you're up to 6 points now, Evan. You're fucking ranking it in, man.
Stan, are you still alive?
Stan's
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, Stan's ready for his turn.
Yeah. He's brushing up on his history. Yeah. Okay, and last question here. When Super Mario Galaxy was released, you and I ended up doing a special episode in which we talked about your impressions of the game. In theory, we actually ended up talking about Blank for 2/3 of the show.
We talked about...
Schlong.
It was games journalism and ratings. Because the whole controversy at the time was rating that game and the 10s and the 9.5s and stuff like that, wasn't it? Wasn't it games journalism and ratings?
Am I close? That's what it was. That's what it was, yeah.
Sweet!
You 8 questions. 8 points. 8 points.
8 points.
All right. All right, well, Stan, are you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Your first question here is, in many of our first episodes of Nintendo Pirate Radio, we had a go-to terrible sort of sports game that you reviewed early on in your staff career. What was this game?
Didn't he already mention it today?
No. That was the paintball game.
What? Can you be more specific?
Greg Hastings or something like that?
That's what it was. All right, so 2 points. Woo! All right, in episode 16, talking about my Bit Generations, you, Wendy, and I talked about, you guessed it, Bit Generations. We also said
we
goodbye.
We did? I could have sworn it was just Wendy.
I listened to that episode, too. That was what they should have been playing in Abu Ghraib for instead of country music.
We also said goodbye to a celebrity who just recently died. Who was this person?
Gosh,
wait, I'm sorry. Has any celebrity other than Michael Jackson ever died? Because I don't really remember anymore.
Exactly. I almost introduced this as the RFN Michael Jackson tribute episode.
All right. I'm going to need a hint on this one. Because there's been a lot of people who died since then.
All right. Hint. He was a popular figure on the Discovery Channel.
Oh!
Steve Irwin.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
1 point. So you're up to 3. All right, in episode 32, Men Without Wii's, you and I hosted the very first RFN Christmas episode. It was also the first time I designated an episode blank after it had gone completely off the rails. What was that phrase?
You designated the episode as blank after it had completely gone off the rails.
Yeah. Any guess? You want the hint?
Yeah.
All right, I used it a lot in episode 103.
Well, that helps.
Yeah.
Well, he was on 103.
Chode?
So?
Huh?
Chode?
No, it was not Chode. It was worst show ever.
Oh.
All right, you're up to three still.
That was a trivia question about Carl, not about Stan.
Yeah, but Stan has brought it up.
I was there, I guess.
I caused it to happen, so...
All right, your fourth question here. In episode 100, 599 U.S. hours, you and I produced you and I produced a set of radio adventures starring Sweet Pete and Blue Balls, his first mate. You and I also stepped in to parody the staff, members of past and present. In the final part of the trilogy, you played Johnny, and while I, as Greg, sang the praises of the Williams Collection, you were all over blank.
What, I was all over something?
Like, what game were you bringing up a lot as Johnny?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was Johnny? Wasn't it Excite Truck or some Metroid game?
No, wrong. It was Magic the Gathering.
Magic the Gathering! You were talking about that for like 8 episodes and everyone
like
was
so
tired
of
that.
Johnny, you immediately went to
Excite
Truck first and then Metroid.
Yeah. What's that? What was that saying?
How old is he?
Johnny? Yeah. He's like what, 27?
I think he's on his way. He's 5 years older than me, so yeah, he'd be 28 now.
Okay.
He spent 8 episodes talking about Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, no, seriously. There's a reason you stopped listening, Stan.
All right, well...
No, I mean, the show's only gotten better, let me say, but honestly, Johnny went on about Magic for way too long.
Let me say, the only reason I don't listen to Radio Free Nintendo...
That'd be like me staying on the show and, you know, when I left to just talk about WoW.
What were you saying, Mike?
I was saying the only reason I don't listen to Radio Free Nintendo now has nothing to do with the people. I love them all, but I just don't fucking like Nintendo anymore.
That's fair.
I listen to an episode every now and again. I really enjoy it. I think that they've got good chemistry and such. And
they've got good chemistry, definitely. Yeah. And I've got that one episode 150 sitting on my laptop. I just haven't listened to it yet because it's like forever long.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to listen to any of my podcasts in over a year.
Alright, well, your last question here is episode 103, James Jones Box Hunter, was a pretty fun show. We actually did talk about games a bit in those 2 hours. Kokoto was one of them. Now, what was Kokoto a master of?
Oh, for God's sakes.
It's in the title.
Kokoto, fishing.
Yes, correct. It was Kokoto Fishing Master. The hit was... one of his other games was Kokoto Platform Jumper.
I remember that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that is the end of Radio Trivia. I think the final score here is Mike, you got 4. Stan got 5.
You didn't write it down?
I mean, keep my memory. You got a memory.
Evan got 8.
Yeah,
I told you Evan was going
to
win.
But that's because I go back and listen to my old podcast. That's the only reason why.
It's a weekly process for him. Every week he goes to and listens to
I just pretend that I'm still on the show.
Exactly, yeah. So Evan, you are the crowned victor of this little round of trivia. Congratulations.
Thank you. I am proud to carry the honor.
But yeah, it was funny. I was actually also going to do a thing where I counted to see how many episodes we were all in, and then I would have us guess to see how like close the number we would be.
Okay.
Here's the thing. It was very tedious, so I kind
of... It like the first 2 minutes of every episode, right?
No. I was just going through the description to see, like, what names were listed.
Because it says them all, yeah.
Yeah. But then some of them didn't, so I would actually have to listen to some of them.
I was going to say if they did, because otherwise you could just use an iTunes search for people's names.
You know, I've only been in about maybe 20. I haven't been in that many.
You've been in more than 20, Evan.
I've been close to...
You've been close to 40. You've been in close to 40.
Man, yeah, maybe. But less than all of you, I would say.
Are you counting commercials?
Well, no, I'm not counting those.
I think I've been in like 12.
You've been in about 18 to 20.
Really? So I think we should actually talk about Nintendo now and what everyone thinks.
Well, hold on. But I actually, here's the thing. Mine was somewhere between 75 and 80, but Mike, this is your 50th episode.
Oh, congratulations to me. Yeah. unless I showed up in any episodes that weren't cataloged.
Maybe.
At least my 50th episode.
Yeah, 50th episode.
I already finished my beers, so. I can't
how many, show as that. How many beers have you had?
Only two.
All right, you had two. You're not too bad in.
No, I have to drive home.
All right, so what you want to talk about Nintendo or something?
I think you should talk about Nintendo when everyone thinks of Nintendo. It's kind of the reason none of us, I imagine, I mean, there are life circumstances as well, but I'm pretty sure a predominant reason in all of us not writing for the site anymore is that we don't really care about Nintendo anymore.
All right, well, let's get to that, but before we do, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Nintendo and Us, The Endless Struggle.
Commercial.
And we're back for the last segment of this thing that we're doing here.
They call it a podcast.
I think they call it a podcast now. But, okay, we're going to talk about our relationship with the Nintendo. And, look, I'm okay with the Nintendo, but, like, Mike, that box to your left there, that's got my Wii in it.
Yeah, exactly. I moved a year ago, and I'm in the process of moving now.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the last year, from when my Wii was unpacked and hooked up to the television to, like, 2 weeks ago when the Wii was repacked up and put in a box,
right,
it was turned on. So of those about 365 days, it was probably on for, it was definitely on for less than 10 of them.
Wow.
Yeah. One of my roommates bought Mario Kart, and we played it for a couple days, and then we stopped. And there were also the one day where we randomly turned it on to play Smash Brothers. And then there was like one day where it was like, I really want to play Super Metroid, so I turned it on to play Super Metroid.
Yeah, I haven't played my Wii pretty much at all since I finished Mad World.
I mean, it's just, It's a wasteland.
Yeah, it's not great, but I've been going back to some old stuff. I've been playing Smash Brothers with my nephew on Wii, and I've been pulling out, you know, I mean, it's as far as the old stuff, that's where I've been going, but there's some good stuff out there that I just haven't had a chance to try. I've heard Mad World is really good, and
yeah, Mad World is really good, except it doesn't run in progressive skin, so why the fuck did I spend all that money on a television?
I mean, not for your Wii.
Yeah, but it could at least run a goddamn progressive scan. I mean, come on. It's fucking 2009.
Yeah, it is 2009.
Yeah.
But fucking game
that doesn't affect
scan.
Me, though. I mean, I've really been seeing the gaming going on the 360 and to a certain extent even on the PS3, and I've been attracted to it and wanting to join, but I just financially can't.
Oh, dude,
so.
I forgot to bring up fucking Splosion Man on 360.
I have not played this
game. Okay, before you're leaving, you're going to play it.
Okay.
It is fucking amazing.
It just came out like this week, right?
Yeah, it's the first game on the Summer of Arcade on XBLA.
Yeah, I remember because a week ago I was really pissed because the remake of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4 Turtles in Time was supposed to be the first game coming out this week, but they pushed it.
Splosion Man's worth it because it's fucking awesome. You're basically like, it's a platformer, but when you explode, you press A, you explode, and you like jump up a little bit, and that's almost the only controls.
So you can run around and you can explode.
Exactly, but Because of the excellent level design, it's amazing. And when you pick up a fat dude, it plays a song called Everybody Loves Donuts.
Okay, I'll have to play this.
I downloaded the MP3, it's amazing. Anyway, so, okay, but as for me and Nintendo, I mean, on the Wii, it's a little bit barren, and I mean, look I kind of want to try Wii Sports Resort, that looks pretty cool.
No, that looks good. That looks really good.
I'm not even interested in that, I have no interest. But I've got a Wii, and my girlfriend Amanda has a Wii, and she turns hers on almost every day because she is completely addicted to Animal Crossing, and she's been playing it almost every day since the day it came out.
Wow.
But now we're running into this problem where we're moving in together, and it's fucking stupid that we have two Wiis. So
you should get rid of one.
Well, we would like to, except one. Well, her system doesn't have any virtual console games on it, except I think Super Mario Brothers. And you know, mine has like about 10 or 15 games on it.
Why don't you just get rid of hers then and just use yours?
Because you can't transfer the Animal Crossing save file. It's protected.
The fucking SD card.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that you can transfer it, but it's one of those files that it won't let you copy because it's protected. You can do it through like all sorts of homebrew methods.
That's stupid.
So basically what I'm going to have to do is hack her Wii, just so I can take the friggin' Animal Crossing save file off of it. Mind you, she paid for Animal Crossing, so I don't understand why she can't do whatever the fuck she wants with her save file.
Yeah.
But well, why don't you just move all of your Virtual Console games over to hers?
You can't that makes do that. Sense. The only way to transfer Virtual Console games is through Nintendo, and they will only do it if your Wii breaks, and you have, and they have to send you a new Wii.
Yeah,
they
this
will
is
hand transfer every game over in Redmond, Washington.
We're talking about one of the reasons why Nintendo hasn't, even though they may be making gangbusters cash right now, one of the reasons why they haven't taken over the industry and haven't really revolutionized it from the inside like they wanted to, and Blue Ocean BS is because of this stuff. They put all these
DRM
limitations
shit
on the user that have been bothering us for years, literally
years.
I'm
okay with most of that stuff, but when you look at something like the way iTunes works, my purchases aren't tied to the machine I buy them on. They're tied to the account I buy them with, which makes sense. But with Nintendo, your account is tied to your system, so you've got an account, but the games are tied to the hardware serial number, not to your account number, which is just completely retarded.
Yeah, I was joking around with Stan a while back that to propose a column to Lindy, now that he's site director, called Nintendo Hate Report, and every week I would write something about Nintendo that is stupid.
It'd be like those Apple blogs that every week it seems another app is getting banned from the App Store for some complete bullshit reason.
There you go. I don't know, maybe I'll still go ahead and pitch
they
that.
They banned a South Park application because they thought the content was offensive. Mind you, you could buy episodes of South Park
on iTunes. Yeah, and also, like, I remember, funny. the GAF app.
The GAF app got banned because. And the stupid thing is that all these applications are doing is accessing content that is on the internet, and all of it could, like, you can access GAF from the Safari browser on your iPhone.
Yeah.
But apparently that's not offensive, but if you access it through the GAF app, it is offensive. That problem has been fixed now that they have ratings for the applications since, like, as of 2 months ago.
Right.
Or a month ago. So now all the applications can go through, and that if they have something naughty in them, it's okay now because there's parental controls.
All right, well, Nintendo again. but yeah, there actually is, there's some cool stuff coming to, like, all right, I played Punch-Out recently.
I was kind of interested in Punch-Out, but not $50 interested in Punch-Out.
Yeah.
I'm $30 interested in Punch-Out.
Yeah, I'm like $20 interested in Punch-Out. Like, it was fun, you know? It's a great remake of Punch-Out, but it's still Punch-Out.
Yeah, now, we can talk about Club Nintendo. Are you guys seeing Club Nintendo?
I don't know what the fuck that is.
Oh. Well, I reached the platinum level in Club Nintendo just by virtue of all the DS and Wii games that I had bought that first year of the system, previous year.
Yeah.
I had, like, literally just hit the marker for that platinum level status, and my two rewards for being a platinum member, I have an option between a downloadable fight in Punch-Out where you get to fight Doc Lewis, your trainer.
Okay.
But it's not like a downloadable character for Punch-Out. It's just like, I guess, its own like sort of WiiWare / Virtual Console game. So you don't go into Punch-Out to play the game. So if you're playing Punch-Out and you're like, oh, I'd like to fight Doc Lewis, you have to be like, all right, let me quit Punch-Out, go back to the channel, and start that one individual fight from the channel menu.
Yeah.
And then the other option is a, like, Mario hat, like an actual Mario hat that you can wear in your head. And it's like, one, I'm 25 years old. I'm closer to 26 than I am to my 25th birthday at this point. I don't need any fucking gaming tchotchkes anymore. I'm done with that shit. All it does is sit on your desk for like half a year, and then you're like, why the fuck do I even have this? And you throw it out.
I remember when I had first joined the site.
And so I've got that. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to get the stupid hat, because the hat is retarded, and I'm just going to throw it out. And then I've got the Punch-Out game, which I guess what I'm going to choose, but I can't choose it because I'm going to get rid of my Wii and go to Amanda's Wii. I'm hoping it's just a download code that I can put into her Wii and get on her Wii.
Maybe you should hold out and do something new.
You have to pick by, like, a certain time.
No,
these
it expires?
These are, like, the yearly prizes.
Oh, okay.
They've got the prizes that you can buy with your points, and your points don't expire, but every year, if you spend a certain amount of money, you reach a gold or platinum status, and if at the end of the year you're at one of those statuses, you get an extra bonus prize for free.
Shit.
And that's what those two bonus prizes are. And the other prize, the prize for gold members, is a Nintendo desk calendar, which, while it's a gaming tchotchke, at least it's a calendar and it serves a functional purpose.
Yeah.
And I would actually prefer to choose that, but because I have spent too much money on Nintendo, I'm not allowed to choose it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Mario hat would have a purpose to drive away vagina.
Yeah, right? I don't know. You know, maybe I'll get it and I'll be Mario for Halloween this year.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll have an excuse to get it.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I just feel it's kind of dumb that, you know, if you spend however much amount of money it is, you're a gold member. But if you spend even more money, you're a platinum member. And if you're a platinum member, you can't choose the gold gift, even though you spent enough money to be a gold member. You spent way more money.
Does that sound like something that Nintendo would do? Actually, yes. It sounds exactly like something Nintendo would do.
I sent an email to their customer service specifically asking them, like, I don't need a hat. I don't want this game. Can I get the calendar? And they were like, no, you're a platinum member. And I guess it makes sense.
You're too good for that calendar.
They probably ordered exactly enough calendars. Yeah, exactly. Because the gold members don't have a choice. That's all they get.
Yeah.
So they probably ordered that many calendars, and they just don't have any left over, which makes sense from a logistics point of view. I just feel like I should have been able to order a fucking
calendar. Yeah.
Well, there is, I think, some cool stuff coming, maybe in the future. Scribblenauts?
Yeah, well, I haven't touched my DS in over maybe 2 years, but I probably will buy Scribblenauts.
Scribblenauts is awesome, and everyone needs to
Though,
buy
actually,
it.
They did mention that they might be porting it to other platforms, so I may go now and get it on the iPhone.
Well, yeah, if it goes to, like, Mac instead or
if
something.
If it goes to iPhone,
or like Xbox Live.
And you know what the great thing
really
is? If it goes on the iPhone, it'll be, like, a $30 DS game, and it'll be, like, a $3 iPhone game.
Yeah. How much is Pebble?
It was $10, but now it's
$6.
Oh. Or $5 or something. iPhone game prices are ridiculous. There's not a single game on that store for over $10. It's amazing.
Well, Plants vs. Zombies was free.
Well,
for a little bit.
Free.
Free. Thank you, torrent sites.
So, yeah, Nintendo.
Nintendo. So, Nintendo, we talk about it sometimes, maybe.
You know, what's happened to me, really, is that I haven't even been gaming that much because it's too expensive of a hobby, and I pour my money into Amazon Marketplace, and I get used books. And that's how I spend my time now, honestly, is I read,
Harlequin?
And I... What?
I mean, I don't really buy that many games
Harlequin romances?
No, not Harlequin romances. But no, I buy stuff that's pertinent to my, like, to my schoolwork, as well as stuff that's just interesting to me, and so I'm reading stuff on politics, and I'm reading some classic novels and things, and it's been great because I find that I've always found, and this is what happened on the episode Auteur Theory, which I didn't do a very good job, but I was trying to put into words the connections between the different art forms and the reason why video games, I think, have become too insular. There's too much of this is where I was totally supportive of Nintendo and the Wii, was that there was an entry point suddenly, and there was an entry point to the complexity. And I thought that was fantastic. I think that Wii Sports Resort, the way Chris Kohler reviews it, as being both easy enough for a newcomer but challenging enough for someone to really get very good at it, that seems like an exciting thing. I wish that they could bring that entry point into the narrative game world. They've only done it with the minigame world, and I can't buy that. So as soon as it becomes easy to pick up a controller and play as Link, then we might have an art form on our hands that we already know plenty about, but that the whole world can participate in.
There was an interesting article, I can't remember where I saw it, like maybe a week or two ago, on one of those websites that said that the reason that stories in video games suck is because they don't have a denouement, and they don't. The game, it's the climax, the denouement, it's like the, like, when you watch a movie and you hit the climax, but there's still like 10 minutes of movie after that climax where things just sort of wrap up and they show you what happens to everybody. That doesn't happen in games. You hit the climax and the game ends and the credits roll.
It's denouement.
Well,
there's
playing,
pronunciation
Metal Gear Solid,
of that
word. It has a 3-hour denouement.
Yeah. Well, Metal Gear's got it, but that's pretty much about it, where it's like you're going up the roller coaster the whole time, but right before you go down, and then you go down the hill, but then you go through like a whole bunch of stuff, and you finally hit the climax of the roller coaster. But in the end, there's still that little bit of track that gets you from the end of the real ride back to the station.
Right,
and that's
what
games are missing.
Well, even Metal Gear Solid doesn't have a playable denouement. It's like
it's a cinematic.
It's cinematic.
At least it's got one. Jeez.
Are you guys actually saying denouement?
That's how I learned it.
Denouement.
See, I learned it in fourth grade, which is how I learned French.
Denouement. Anyway, getting back to the episode Auteur Theory, one of the other things that I liked about that episode, which is completely unrelated, but it was when I argued with everyone about whether Sheik was a dude or a chick.
Oh. And people will get vehemently angry in that argument.
Well, here's the thing, because here's my defense of that idea, is that, all right, look, Sheik is not a real person. We can agree on this, yes?
Sure.
I actually don't really want to retread this argument.
Okay, no. Go
I think, by the way, I think, let's just sum it up, and I think at the very end we decided at best Sheik is a tranny.
Well, isn't Sheik really just Zelda and
yeah, Eric? it's
tranny.
It's a made up persona. Okay, so
okay,
since we're dealing in the area of made up personas, that persona is a dude.
Is RuPaul a man or a woman?
Yeah,
Well, no, see, the thing is,
RuPaul's
point was predicated on the fact that when she reveals himself to be Zelda, there was a flash. It was like a magic thing. It was like a magical transformation. So the magical transformation...
Well, that's because she couldn't just change her clothes in front of, you know...
Yeah, the smoke has to conceal the cheating.
It's a kid's game. It's not, you know, that movie from the 80s where that she, like...
The Crying Game?
No, it was a good movie because it was PG-13. And yet,
I think that was a Crying Game.
No, dude. That was rated R. And
anyway,
they showed
whatever.
Wang.
I'm not going to argue about that with you.
But at some point, it's a kid's game. She's not going to be like, look at these, you know? And Link's going to be like, yeah. You know? They got to do the flash because you got to go from like looking like Sheik to looking like Zelda.
That presupposes something, though. That presupposes that when reading the game's narrative events, that you should take into account what the designer was thinking, which is not in any way an appropriate way of analyzing a narrative. We should look at what we see and what it means. And what I saw was a magical transformation from one person to another. Whether that was just a change of clothes or a change of gender, that's what we're arguing about. But there was a magical transformation. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the transformation,
the transformation was definitely
magical,
but the transformation is no different than when Gwyneth Paltrow goes from looking like a boy in Shakespeare in Love to looking like herself.
There was nothing magical about that. She didn't look anything like a boy.
From Evan's point of view, in the world of Shakespeare in Love, magic doesn't exist. But in the world of Zelda, magic does exist. So there is a possibility that some magic gave her a penis.
All right.
All right. Now we're at the end of this conversation.
Hilary Swank, Matt Damon thing.
What?
There's a part in Team America World Police where every time Matt Damon says anything, he just says, Matt Damon.
Like, he's sort of like gorilla that
the simple fact
sort of
is, they are the same person. It doesn't, you know, nothing changes.
Are they, though?
Anyways, let's go on. We're not talking about this bullshit.
This is getting too deep.
Here's back to the main point. This got hijacked by Carl, the main point I was trying to make was that there is a an interconnectivity between all of the arts and between the way that we can go about examining art. And the problem is that video game studies have been relegated to media or communication studies, and they're not being joined with art history in our universities. And until that happens, until we actually have a truly holistic view of the arts and see video games as a member of them, and games as well in general, then we're not going to be accepted. We're not accepted. We're seen as diddling around with toys right now.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit, but...
Wii Music doesn't help that.
I can see that it's kind of, like, not considered art history, because it's not really history yet. It's just, I mean, on some levels, it's art, but on some levels, it's minigames, and it's not really art.
I think Chris Kohler's Power Up is a book of both media and communication studies, but also of art history. He's analyzing the way that people feel when they play a game and their reactions and experiences with it, as well as the history behind what went into making it, the industry, the culture, and how that affected us economically. So
have any of you seen the recent episode of Penn & Teller Bullshit about violent video games?
Yeah, I saw it.
God, I love that show, but that episode was especially
They interviewed like Jack Thompson, some other like anti-video game.
Yeah, I mean, if you've ever seen the show, basically they're completely fucking biased. I mean, they wear their bias on their sleeve, which I guess makes it okay.
Sort of legitimate, I guess.
Like, at least they're admitting that they're completely biased, but they admit like they're just total libertarians, and they talk about like this is complete bullshit. Like people should be able to do what they want, and the violent video game episode was great, especially at the end when. They've got this 9-year-old kid who plays video games like every day, and his mom's like, no, it's okay. He knows the difference between fantasy and reality.
Right. Yeah.
And they want to prove the point that teaching, like playing Grand Theft Auto or whatever, SOCOM or, you know, Call of Duty doesn't really teach you how to be a killer. And they prove their point by they actually bring this 9-year-old kid to a shooting range, and they have a trained military officer, like, you know, teach him how to fire a rifle. And the kid. The guy's like, all right, I'm going to let you fire 3 rounds. The kid fires 1 round, and then he says, no, I've had enough. And then he goes and he starts crying. Like, the kid literally cannot handle the fact that he fired a weapon, even though it was at a blank target in the middle of the woods.
Yeah. It's really good stuff. I would recommend it that anyone go out and, like, and check it out. But, we've kind of got off the rails again to...
That's what we always do.
We always go off the rails. But, we're reaching... I suppose the end of whatever this is.
Hey, what I didn't get to talk about Nintendo.
Let's stand,
talk for a little bit, man. You've barely been on this episode.
Boomblocks was fun.
I never played it, but I know Tycho and Gabe loved it.
Boomblocks was fun. Yeah.
I tend to agree with Tycho's opinion on most games.
I'm telling you, so. Boomblocks was really, 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 really fun. And if you want to get the part two, feel free. But
I recommend getting the first one
because it's cheaper and it's a good game.
Yeah, Boomblocks is actually really, really fun. I would recommend that anyone try it. But what you got for us, Dan? What you holding back?
As far as anything.
Let's hear your thoughts. Let's pretend that this is God's Favorite Podcast, and you've got things to say.
I got nothing to say. I just haven't really been playing Nintendo because, well, for one thing, it's a... I don't even know what the hell it is anymore.
Here's the thing. Nintendo stopped being Nintendo a couple of years ago.
I haven't played anything, though. I haven't been playing my Xbox. I haven't played my Nintendo. I haven't played DS.
When I think about it, apart from... I played Infamous, which was great.
Infamous is fun.
I loved Infamous. Yeah. But apart from that, I have basically 90 to 95% of my gaming time is spent with Rock Band.
See, mine is with WoW. And that's really sad.
Yeah, it is really sad. Whereas Rock Band is awesome.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've just been like...
Pushing plastic buttons on a guitar-shaped thing.
I love it. And now I can't wait. Like, Beatles Rock Band comes out in less than 2 months.
Apparently, I want that so badly.
I already have it ordered from Amazon, the whole ridiculous bundle, because I got a crazy deal on it.
Speaking of Beatles Rock Band,
I'm going to tell you, and I'm sorry, Carl, but this is something that happened yesterday that I'm really upset about, and it has nothing to do with Nintendo or video games.
But I'm a big fan
of the Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Love
that show. And I check out the website,
MST3Kinfo.com.
It's the old satellite news. And the guys who played, it was Mike, Kevin Murphy, who played Tom Servo, and the last guy who played Crow, have got this website together called Rift Tracks.
Rift Tracks, yeah.
All right. They're coming to Nashville on August 20. The tickets went on sale yesterday. And I could not order the tickets at work because the internet kept crashing. And as soon as I got home, they were sold out. My heart is broken.
Because they're going to broadcast that live to like theaters all over the nation. And I really need to buy tickets.
It's the Belcourt Theater here in Nashville. I wanted to go so bad. And you know what? The best part of it is Lotax is going to be there.
Yeah, and so is Jonathan Colton.
And I wanted to go up to Lotax and say, hey, I was on your site. I was one of the... top five worst video game reviews ever of that year.
What was that for?
It was for Mario Power Tennis on the GBA or something.
Yeah.
Great
game.
Nice. He gave it a 10. And Lotax thought that was unnecessary.
Well, no, it wasn't Lotax. It was one of his writers.
Yeah, when a Nintendo fan site gives a good score to a Nintendo game, they're obviously biased.
Yeah. But
for the fact that back then Nintendo actually made good games like 80% of the time.
Do you know that two of the other five people on that list were Tim Rogers?
Fuck him.
That's awesome.
Let me go ahead and say though that Stan's review of that game was a little effulgent. It was just a little I don't know.
Considering how often I use the thesaurus in that review, I think effulgent's
a good word.
I don't know what it means. But
Mike, to answer your question, Mike, no, we've never told the Tim Rogers story.
Oh, I'm telling the Tim Rogers story. I don't write for Nintendo World Report or anybody anymore. So, if you know who Tim Rogers is, this is an amazing story. If you don't, you'll just think that this is like a good story.
All right, I better crack open another beer.
So, Tim Rogers was this... I mean, I guess he still is. I don't know where he writes now, but he was this guy who wrote for... What was the site?
Insert Credit,
which was like the bastion of new games journalism for a while. Where like, Chris Kohler wrote there for a while.
Tycho wrote a couple articles for Instagram.
Yeah, they made some genuinely very well-written articles, but none of them came from Tim Rogers.
Brandon Sheffield was like the big guy at Instagram.
And a lot of their content was really good, but none of it written by Tim Rogers. He was just, I don't know, I only read like one or two of his articles and I couldn't stomach it. Can you describe him better, Carl?
He's Hunter S. Thompson with no talent and a love for video games.
Perfect. That is exactly it. So... we were, like, short on writers, so we put out the call, because whenever we're short on writers, we put out the call, and we're like, who wants to write? And Tim Rogers is like, I'll write for you guys. And everyone's like, really? Okay, you can write for us.
Yeah.
And he showed up, and this was like right before E3. We really needed people for E3 because we were short that year.
Right.
So he's like, all right, cool. And then he never. So we do like meetings every night at E3. Like we do a meeting the night before the press conference. We do a meeting immediately after the press conference. We have at least bare minimum of one meeting a day during E3. Probably two or three, really. Like one in the morning before we go, and then one at night to sum everything up. And then also we always have at least one person in the media room writing.
Got it.
So he never showed up to any of the meetings. He never showed up to the media room to write anything. It turns out he only ever joined the staff so he could write an article about what it was like to write for a fan site.
And he didn't actually write for the fan site.
And he never actually wrote an article
for
the fan site.
He wrote, like, one
site.
Review, I think.
I think he wrote one review, but only because in order to get an E3, you have to be published at least 6 months
before
E3.
Here's a little fun fact. I think it was either Johnny or it might have been Dan who sent the review back saying less bold. Because
I'm sure he used a lot of formatting. Yeah,
he uses too much formatting in his reviews. Like every other word is italicized or underlined or bolded.
Because he wants to feel like he's talking, I guess. I don't know. So he got fired like day two of E3.
Yeah.
Like Johnny was, or whoever was in charge, Johnny or Billy.
Johnny, because the thing is, he posted an expose about him working for Planet GameCube. You can probably find it at Insert Credits Archive. And if you go there, he has spy cam video footage of one of the meetings.
Am I in it?
I don't know.
Oh god, I hope I am.
So I don't know if it's still hosted there anymore, but if it is, go check it out. It is so all you can see is like two hockey jerseys.
Yeah, one of them was Billy's.
Okay.
He loves hockey. But yeah, so basically he never really wrote anything for this site.
Yeah.
He just the only thing he had published was so we could prove that he worked for the site, so we could get him a badge that said Planet GameCube.
Yeah.
And also I think Insert Credit might have been gone at the time.
No,
he needed an in to E3, so maybe he was just using us for that.
I don't know. The thing is that his expose on PGC was all part of a maxi feature on Insert Credit called Journalism the Game, which was a giant, like, introspective look on what journalism is in the video game industry. And there are a lot of really good articles in it. One of them is written by Chris Kohler. I think it was about how if you call Shigeru Miyamoto Shiggy, you're not a games journalist. Something like that. And anyway, so, but there was that, and I think Tycho from Pet Arcade wrote an article. Really a lot of good stuff. And Tim Leiter's article was the greatest piece of video game journalism ever called. The video game article. Like, and so it was like this four-part article that he wrote, and one of the parts is about him getting fired by Johnny. And it is the most melodramatic, like, straight out of episode one of Star Wars.
Wait, can I read this? I found the article.
Oh, you found the article? Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
It's called Chapter 6, The Greatest Piece of Video Game-Related Journalism Ever Written by Tim Rogers. Greatest piece written by Tim Rogers.
Yeah.
Not that this is the greatest piece and it happens to be written by Tim Rogers. That this is actually the greatest piece that Tim Rogers wrote.
Yeah.
On the first morning of E3, while I was waiting in line to be let into West Hall, the senior editor of PlanetGameCube.com fired me. You were supposed to come to the hotel and update with us yesterday. I had to go to the Nokia press conference. I half lied. You were supposed to come to the hotel last night for the staff meeting. I had another staff meeting. Really, I do, mind you, whenever I talk loud, I'm emphasizing his bold. Really, I do write for another website, and that's a link to, what is it? Insert Credit. And one whose senior editor doesn't contact me at 1 in the morning to tell me to tone down the bold type. He looked down. I spied the top of his crew-cut head. He was dressed in a PlanetGameCube.com t-shirt and khaki pants. To his shoes, he mumbled, "It was nice working with you." The two large gentlemen he'd brought with him stared over my right and left shoulders. Maybe they were just looking at my friends, Insert Credit's own Doug Jones and Eric John Waugh. With a heel turn that didn't even almost suggest a movie villain's flicking of a cape, the three were gone. Like villains in the children's movie, the companions and I were laughing out of our noses in a half second. I won't read the rest because it's, well, it's actually not that long, but it's incredibly wordy because it's Tim Rogers.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I remember there's one article by him that I think is one of the funniest things I've ever read, which is, it's a Yucatan Saibun or Phoenix Wright review, but the entire thing about is about him eating a Hot Pocket. Swear to God.
Nice. But as I continue to summarize, basically, for the next paragraph, he wags his dick about how I got fired by Planet GameCube, but Edge Magazine called Insert Credit the best website in gaming. Like, so he's basically just wagging his dick for the next paragraph, and then, I don't know, I'm not even going to read the rest because it's worthless.
Yeah, but to Tim Rogers' credit, it's because of his dick waving that Sin and I decided to do the first episode of Nintendo Pirate Radio.
Oh, nice.
So
thanks, Tim.
Here's to you, buddy.
Fuck you.
Wow.
He's never going to hear this because obviously he's too high and mighty to listen to it. So.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I don't know. Do we have anything? Do we have any more? Anything else to say? Really?
I doubt it.
I can't wait for Johnny to listen to this.
Oh, Johnny's gonna love it. He's gonna be like, "You got to cut that entire Tim Rogers story."
Fuck him. not fuck Johnny. I love
Johnny. Tim Rogers.
Fuck
Tim. Tim Rogers, not John. Johnny. We love Johnny.
Johnny's one of my closest friends. So
Johnny's a cool dude. Johnny's a cool dude. He's not scared. He's not scared of anything. Whatever that meme is.
I don't know.
Anyway. Whatever.
I guess that brings us to the end.
So I hope you've stayed tuned for this entire show. And again, I want to thank Stan for being here. Even though I feel like you didn't get to say your piece, man.
I really don't have a lot of pieces.
Stan's
these
quiet.
Days.
You don't have a lot of piece to share, I guess.
That's what she said.
Anyways, stop tearing things off the wall. Like, God damn it. Like, that's not, like, alright, we're recording this for show. My room, we're moving out of the apartment in, like, another week. So, my room is kind of strewn about with, like, clothes and boxes and all that shit. So, we're recording this in an empty room, because one of my roommates already moved out. And, like, there's still some shit around, and, like, there's, like, a birthday card, I think, on the wall. And Mike, like,
it's got a picture of a bald eagle on it. It's awesome.
Anyway. So, let's just wrap it up.
Okay, we're done.
All right, so, Stan, thank you for coming on, and I'm sorry you didn't get to say your piece or give your piece or whatever the fuck.
It's been my Ritz-Carlton pleasure, and really, I've just been enjoying sitting here in Evan's lap, or should I say, Santa.
Virtual lap?
Wow, thanks
on
for that.
On that note, Evan, thanks for the lap.
Sure, glad I could be here.
All right, thanks for the memories. And, I don't know, Mike, anything else you gotta share?
No.
Alright, and we are out of here.
Bye, buddy.
See you at 203.